They told me Tuesday morning in a staff meeting that I had to come up with a first responder's message. And I thought, well, how in the world am I going to do a first responder's message? And you know, there are oodles of ideas that I got before the morning was over. I mean, many. And I landed on this one. And I think the reason why is, number one, it's in the Old Testament. And I love the Old Testament. And number two, it just fell on the page. I mean, it was just there, and so I thought this is what I need to do, and then I got started on it, and it kind of fell apart, and I got a little disappointed, and I thought now I got to start all over again. But I gave it a little rest and then came back to it, and the message came together. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. I read this last week sometime, I think about the middle of the week. But I read this one morning while I was drinking coffee. Did not realize that this would be what the Lord would have me preach on. But Jeremiah chapter 38, and I want to begin reading in verse 4. The Bible says, "Therefore the princes said unto the king," all right, so these are the underlings, all right, when it says the princes, these are the underlings. These are the policy makers, the decision makers under the king. So look what they said. Verse 4. "We beseech thee, let this man be put to death." All right, now you say, well, who's this man? This man is Jeremiah the prophet, the author of our book. All right, so "we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." Now that was not true, but that's what these princes said. Verse 5. "Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." Verse 6. "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hammelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, just mud. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire." Now he's an old man now, all right? Understand that. Jeremiah is an old man, and this is what they did to him. They dropped him into a cistern that was full of mud to let him just die. Nice people, right? Verse 7. Now watch, this is where our first responder comes in. It says, "Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, These men have done evil in that they in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts. You say, well, what in the world are clouts? All right, that's an old English word, and it means clothes. Clothes. Worn out clothes that had been thrown in a box and stored, all right, in the treasury. And so they took, Ebed-Melech took these clothes and threw them down to Jeremiah. And here's what he said. Look at the middle of verse 11. And took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by the cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts, these clothes, and rotten rags under thine arms, thine armholes, under the cords. And so Jeremiah did. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings now upon the word of God. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for what we were able to do tonight to honor our first responders. And I pray now you'll bless the message to our hearts. Help us to get something tonight that we'll never forget, something that will stick in our minds and our hearts and draw us closer to you. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me give you the story here. Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is under siege by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And of course, you know that that Nebuchadnezzar had this huge, powerful army, and they came and surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and the plan was to starve the people out and get them to surrender. And they surrendered the city, or surrounded the city, and nobody was able to go out. Nobody was able to go in. And they were just hoping that the Jews would just completely give up and surrender when they got hungry. Now, inside the city, I didn't read this for you for the sake of time, but inside the city, the prophet Jeremiah warned the city of God's impending judgment. And he told them that the wrath of the Lord was going to come, and then he blamed that wrath upon the actions of these government officials, these princes who grew angered with each passing day as their situation became more and more dire. Now the officials decided that there was one way to stop the prophet from piercing their consciences, and that was to simply get rid of him. If we just kill him, then he's not going to speak against us. And so they found an old cistern that was filled with mud, and they lowered the old prophet down in the cistern and left him there, no doubt with hopes that he would die and would thus be silenced. Now, there was a servant in King Zedekiah's palace whose name was Ebed-Melech. This man's name would have been given to him simply because of the job he was given. And I say that because his name simply means the king's servant. Ebed means servant. Melech means king. And you put the two together, this man was the king's servant. And we know that Zedekiah had confidence in him. And so when he came and pleaded with the king heeded his word. He listened to what his servant had to say. King Zedekiah told him, okay, you take 30 men and you go rescue the prophet. And that's exactly what Ebed-Melech did. Now, here is my thought tonight. Ebed-Melech ended up saving the life of God's man, Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech was a hero. Now, he was a hero, plain and simple. All right? There's no other way to say it. But let me ask you, has anybody in this room ever heard of Ebed-Melech before? You haven't, have you? Now, you've heard of some other heroes. There's a bunch of heroes in the Bible, like Samson and like Gideon and like Joshua and like David, and on the list goes. But I dare say there is not a handful of folks here tonight who have ever heard of this unsung hero by the name of Ebed-Melech. When the situation looked hopeless for Jeremiah, an unknown hero stood up and stepped in and made a difference. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about Ebed-Melech tonight. First of all, I want you to notice he was a hero because he was courageous. You see, he went against the princes. And it's kind of obvious that those princes were the ones who were calling the shots. I mean, and Ebed-Melech went against these princes. This man decided that he was not going to sit idly by and watch the evil-hearted men kill an innocent old man. Instead, he had the courage and he had the character to do something about it. Now, the thing about you first responders, you folks here tonight, that I think makes each and every one of you a hero is because there is something in you that makes you courageous enough to do something to help others. That's what you do, and we appreciate it. I remember when 9/11 happened. I was down in West Virginia preaching, and I turned on the television, the Fox News, as I was getting ready for church that morning, and I could not believe what I was seeing. And then I sat through the afternoon and I watched the coverage, and I noticed, the thing that I noticed was how everybody was running away from the Twin Towers. But the first responders, the police and the firemen and the paramedics and the EMTs, they were all running toward the Twin Towers. And that's really, I think, the first time that it really hit me just how brave and how honorable what you folks do it really is. Heroes, every single one of them. And that is what you do. And that is what Ebed-Melech did. He saw Jeremiah being slowly killed by the deeds of these officials in Jerusalem. And so he went to the king and he pleaded for something to be done. And when the king turned and looked at him, he said, okay, go do it. Well, he did. He did. He did not run from the problem. He ran to the problem. And he salvaged the old prophet of God. You see, this mission could have easily ended badly for Ebed-Melech. King Zedekiah was greatly weakened. And these princes, these officials who threw Jeremiah in the mire, were powerful men who were not to be messed with. So it took a great deal of courage for Ebed-Melech to do what he did. But think of one other thing that is just under the surface here. King Zedekiah gave Ebed-Melech 30 men to serve as protection as he went to the cistern to free Jeremiah. This would have been protection for the moment, but would have had serious implications in that he would have been very conspicuous going to Jeremiah with 30 men. I mean, waltzing through the city with 30 armed men would have made him very visible to his enemies. He would, from that day on, be a marked man by these very strong and powerful city officials. One thing was for sure. He was not going out on a secret mission. I mean, he was going out under the watchful eye of every politician in that city. But it did not bother Ebed-Melech. He simply wanted to do the right thing and save Jeremiah's life and would just let the chips fall wherever they would fall. And while I'm here, let me say that the church today needs folks with real courage who will stand up for the Lord and be identified with Him instead of withdrawing and acting ashamed of our wonderful Savior. Second thing I want you to notice, that this man's name reflects who he was. His name, Ebed-Melech, the king's servant. You know, it's obvious that this fellow served King Zedekiah with a servant's heart. It is also obvious the king respected his opinion. You know, another thing that makes you folks heroes is your servant's heart. Jesus said, "The greatest among us is the servant." So we got some great people in here tonight. The greatest among us is the servant. When I pastored down in West Virginia, I had a West Virginia state trooper in my church. And his name was Butch Sanders. Great guy. And Butch came to me one night and he said, I think I'd made a comment about the state police. And I think one of them pulled me over, if I'm not mistaken. It was for a sticker. Come on, I wasn't speeding that bad. It was for a sticker. You have to get your car inspected every year in West Virginia, and I forgot. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But Butch came up to me one night, and he said, "Pastor, you want to ride? You want to go on patrol with me?" And I said, "When?" He said, "How about next Friday?" I said, "All right, I guess." I said, "What shift you working?" He said, I'll pick you up at 10 at night. Okay. So at 10 o'clock, he swung by the house. I'm sure all my neighbors were wondering, what's he done now? So I went out, got in a car with him, and we went straight to Dunkin' Donuts. We did, seriously. And I remember Butch got mad because the guy made us pay for the donuts and coffee. He said, "That's the last time I go there." But I ended up going out with him several times. We had a ball. We just literally had a ball. And we had some hair-raising experiences. One night, there was nothing happening. I mean, nothing happening. And Butch looked at me and he said, "Let's go bust some drunks." And I said, "Okay. I'm not sure I want to get involved in that, but I'll sit in the car and watch you do it." And he said, "Oh, you're going to love this. You see, in West Virginia, it is against the law to be publicly intoxicated." You cannot be drunk in public. That's a good law. So we went in and we sat in front of this great big bar up in South Charleston. And I said, "This is cherry picking." And he said, "Yeah, but it's fun. Watch this." And so it wasn't 2 minutes. This guy came out of the door and was stumbling and staggering. And the first thing that I noticed when I looked at him was, good grief, he's huge. This guy was huge. And I said, "Butch, he's bigger than me and you put together." He said, "Yeah, but he's drunk." And so I said, "I'll wait right here." And so he walked over and confronted the fella and told him, said, "Well, sir, you can't be drunk in public. So I'm going to have to take you down to booking." And so he reached back and he got his handcuffs and took the man, said, "Put your arms behind you." And this guy was so big, Butch's handcuffs wouldn't go on his wrist. That's how big he was. I know that man was 6'5", 6'6". But he was a construction worker out of Ohio, down there working on the interstate. And so Butch said, I said, "Butch, he's an awful big man." "Yeah, but he's drunk." And so Butch came and put him in the back seat, right behind me. Right behind me. I said, "Butch, why'd you do that? That guy could have reached up there and pinched my head off." And he goes, nah, he was all right. He was all right. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed about all that. But one night, there was an automobile accident. And I mean a bad automobile accident. And we got there first. And when we pulled up, Butch looked over at me and he said, "Pastor, I'll call you. If I motion for you, come. You may have to pray. You may have to help this family." I said, "I'll be glad to, Butch. You give me the word." And he ran over there and he motioned for me. And I ran over there too. And I watched as Butch talked and encouraged that man who was trapped in that ball of wreckage. And he took his jacket, his state police issued jacket, nice jacket, bomber jacket. And he wrapped that fella the best he could and talked to him, keeping him alert until the fire department got there and cut that man out of that car with the jaws of life. And we got in the car and started back. And I said, "Butch, man, you did an awesome job with that guy." And he said, "Thanks, but that's my job." And I thought, wow, what a hero. What a wonderful thing to do. That man was bleeding. You see, folks, here's the point. A hero stands out, not only because of what he or she does, but also because of how they do it. How they do it. They stand out because of love and compassion and wisdom that flows from their hearts to serve and to help others. And I think Ebed-Melech saw those city officials put that old prophet in the cistern, and he watched as they brutally put a rope around his chest and just heaved him over the side, and then dropped the rope after he hit the bottom. And I'm sure that it just broke his heart. Look at verse 11 and 12. In verse 11 and 12, when he went back to rescue, notice the kindness, notice the compassion. He knew that poor old Jeremiah probably had rope burns under his arms from the terrible way that he was thrown into that cistern. So he went and got some old clothes that were being thrown away and told Jeremiah, "Put these under your arms to buffer the ropes while we pull you out." Oh, what compassion he displayed as he helped Jeremiah out of the mud thus sparing his life. And now one more thing. I want you to notice that Ebed-Melech was rewarded by God. I want you to notice that. You say, Pastor, where's that in the text? It's not in the text. Flip over one chapter, please, to chapter 39. And look at verse 6. 39:6. It says, then, look back up here. All right, here's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar got in. He got in the city. They breached the wall and they got in. All right, so now Jerusalem, the king, everybody, they're all under arrest by Nebuchadnezzar. All right, look at 39 verse 6. Then the king of Babylon, and that king of Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar, then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah. So the king's sons were killed in Riblah before his eyes. Now, how cruel is that? They killed the king's boys and made the king watch them die. Watch this. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles. You know who those were? The princes. The men that threw Jeremiah in the cistern. Verse 7. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. You see, when the Babylonians finally breached the walls and attacked, King Zedekiah tried to make a run for it. But they caught him down just below Jericho, in that valley down there where the Jordan River is, and they brutally killed both of his sons and made him watch, and then they put out the king's eyes, blinding him for life. Think of that, folks. How cruel can men be? And the last thing that man saw on this earth was his two sons being murdered with a sword. All right, now look at 39, verse 16. Look at 39, 16. All right, watch this. It says, verse 15, I'm sorry. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech. That's our hero, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But, watch this now, I will, what? Deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt not be given unto the hand of men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Isn't that awesome? The Lord rewarded Ebed-Melech. You see, folks, here's the point. God never forgets what we do for him. He never forgets. People forget, but the Lord never forgets. The Lord Jesus told that lady that anointed him with oil that what she did would always be spoken of, which is exactly what has happened for the last 2,000 years every time a preacher preaches from that scripture and tells that story. And God did the same thing for Ebed-Melech. God rewarded his courage and his driving desire to do the right thing. When many of the others were executed, the Babylonians spared Ebed-Melech. Listen, folks, God sees how you selflessly serve your fellow man. God sees that. I know you folks don't get, you don't do what you do to be recognized. We all know that. And I know you don't do your job for personal glory. We all know that. But I also know that sometimes even those whom you have greatly helped can forget the kindness that you've shown. But realize this, dear friend, God will never forget. Never. We asked you here this evening because our church wants to let all of you know that we appreciate the way you serve us. And many of us have been on the receiving end of the wonderful things that you do. And in our eyes, you're all heroes. Now, I need to mention one other first responder before I close. And this first responder was the greatest servant the world has ever seen. Let me ask you, if somebody died for you, would you ever get over that? Would you ever forget that? If somebody gave their life for you, would you ever forget that? I don't think you would. I don't think you would. Well, let me tell you something, dear friend. Somebody did die for you. Somebody did. The greatest servant this planet has ever seen, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and he died on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could live forever in heaven. You see, the Lord Jesus, think about this, he is the ultimate Ebed Melech. He is the ultimate servant of the King. Very familiar verse of Scripture, John 3:16. Everybody knows it. For God, the King, so loved the world that he, God, gave, the King gave his only begotten Son. There's your servant. And that's what Jesus did for each one of us here in this room. I can imagine that probably many of you have rescued someone from a near-death experience. I can imagine that most of you have probably performed CPR on a person having a heart attack, or you stopped someone from bleeding out, and probably several of you have done something to save someone's life. Well, folks, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. He went to the old rugged cross to become your saving hero. And if you have not already trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, I hope you'll call upon Him tonight and let the King's servant, let Ebed Melech rescue you from sin's deadly grip.